Please turn your Bibles with me to Psalm 56. Psalm 56. This is the word of God. To the choir master, according to the dove, on far off Timbereth, a miktam of David, when the Philistines seized him in Gath. Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppress me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God's whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife, they lurk, they watch my step, as they have waited for my life. For their crime will they escape. In wrath, cast down the people, O God. You have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise. In the Lord whose word I praise. In God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vow to you, O God. I will render thanks offering to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Again, the word of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the privilege we have to come in your presence to call upon your name. We thank you that you are God and beside you there is no other. We thank you that as far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgression. We thank you for your word, that you sanctify us through your word because it's truth. We ask now, Lord, as we look into your word, as we look upon your face to receive nutrients, we ask, Lord, that you will teach us. We ask that you would feed us, that you would fill us. We pray that your spirit will come upon us and give us grace. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O God, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Our world is racked with fear, and the greatest of these fears is the fear of war. The greatest of our fears are caused by other men. Men can plunder our towns. They can kill our relatives. They can rape our sisters and mothers and take others captives, as was observed in northern Nigeria not too long ago. And in many other parts of the world that are in tools of war, men can tank our economy and destroy our future savings. Men can take away our jobs and our livelihoods. They can deplatform us from social media and shame us. The psalmist David is not a stranger to fear. David writes as he is racked himself with fear in this psalm. But what is strange about contemplating on the words of David in this psalm is that this is a great hero of the faith. This is a giant of the faith. Surely if anyone could have escaped being afraid of the world and being afraid of other men, though he was anointed of God, it would have been David. How can this giant of the faith be gripped with so much fear that he cries out to God in such a psalm? David is known as the sweet psalmist of Israel. This is the same David who fought a lion with his hand. This is the same David who killed a bear. This is the same David who faced a giant with 5 stones and a sling. He said, "I come against you in the name of the Lord." And after he felled the giant, he proceeded to chop off his head and chase out the Philistines out of the land of Israel. This is the same David of whom it was sung, Saul has killed his thousands and David his ten thousands. This was the same David who was anticipated or who was conscripted into Saul's elite military guard. So in this psalm, David reflects back on a time when he was trapped, a time when he was filled with terrors that overwhelmed him as a result of his enemies chasing him. He reflected on a time when, at his lowest, the fear of man ruled his heart and caused him to make a catastrophic mistake. As he reflected on his deliverance by the sovereign hand of God, he penned this psalm. And as we study this psalm, we should keep in mind that he escaped the immediate danger, but his enemies were still on the loose. He recounts for us how he came to a place in his life when he was overcome by fear, and yet he was able to overcome his fear by his faith in God. And so this psalm will consider what are the causes of David's fear and how he overcame his fear, and then his thanksgiving of praise after God delivered him. So first, let's consider how David overcame, what were the causes of David's fear. We've already heard some of the story. He was trapped between two enemies. He had nowhere to run. Fear overtook him when he took his eyes off of the Lord and his word. Men were out to destroy him and his reputation. He says, "For men trample on me all day long," in verses 1. The word for trample there carries the idea of feeling the breath of someone chasing you as you flee from them. All day long, his attackers backed him into a corner. At this time in his life, he is caught between Saul and Achish, the king of Gath and the king of Israel. In his fear of Saul, he became irrational. He ran into Philistines' territory without consulting the Lord, without praying, hoping that the Philistines would not recognize him. And we get this from the superscription, which refers back to 1 Samuel 21. When King Saul realized that God, when Saul realized that God had tossed him aside and had anointed another person to be king, namely David, this is when David's troubles began. And with the help of Jonathan, David was able to escape. We read of the time he went to the high priest Abiathar to seek for help. He came on the king's errand and he was able to borrow the giant's sword. With his sword in hand and Saul hot on his feet, he fled into Philistine territory, hoping to find safety, hoping to be secure, hoping to escape the fear of his pursuer. And so the saying is, he jumped out of the frying pan and into the fire. Because where he thought he would find safety, he didn't. When he proceeded to the king of Gath carrying the sword of their champion, which was a bullheaded move, it didn't take them too long to realize who he was. When the Philistines recognized who it was, they started to whisper to each other probably, and they probably thought, now our gods have delivered our enemy into our hand. Now we can get revenge for what David has done to our champion. And so what happens? David, when he realized he had made a foolish move, he came up with another ingenious plan. He was scared. He was panicked. He didn't know what to do at this time. And so he decided again. This time he would fake madness. He would feign his madness. He started to let his spittle flow on his beard, and he started to play act and do things that would make it seem as if he was a madman. And the Philistines, who at one time were probably whispering among themselves that their gods had delivered the enemy into their hand, no doubt were thinking now that their God had probably decided to curse them, because here was a madman, and it was against their gods to slay a madman. And so because of this ingenious plan, David was released. Philistines couldn't take their revenge. David had made no progress. He was running from Saul. He ran to Achish, and now he's on the loose, and he have enemies on both sides chasing him. He felt helpless, and he said in the psalm, men pester him. They were a nuisance. He is engaged fighting them all day long. They're everywhere. They're chasing him about. There is nowhere to run from his oppressors. All day long, he says, they're a nuisance. They trouble me. They're continually fighting with me. In verses 1, 2, 5, and 6, David gives us the reality of incessant danger. Like a boxer, he is backed into a corner. Like a fighter, he's grappling with his enemies, and they're bigger and stronger than him, and there's nowhere to go, and he's stuck with them. This led him to a place in his life where he could sit and reflect. David had been at a place where he had experienced what Ed Welch calls the fear of man. In his book, When People Are Big and God Is Small, Welch describes that what David is experiencing here is a fear of man. Welch says, all experiences of the fear of man shares at least one common feature. People are big. They have grown to idolatrous proportion in our lives. They control us. Since there is no room in our heart to worship both God and people, whenever people are big, God is not. And he says, therefore, the first task in escaping the snare of the fear of man is to know that God is awesome and glorious, not other people. And so David had to come to that point in his life where he had to realize that even though he was being pursued and even though he was backed into a corner at his enemies, great though they were, that his God was awesome and his God was glorious and his God was ready to save him. This is what we too must realize when overcome with fear like David. We must turn our gaze from men who can harm us to the living God who is awesome and glorious. We must turn to him and seek him out in his word to overcome our fear. This is what David had to do. And this is what we see in the psalm when we get to verses 3 and 4 and consider how David overcame his fear. Verses 3, 4, verses 10 and 11 brings out the refrain. What time I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. He recognized that he had been gripped by the fear of man and made a conscious choice that when faced with fear, he will put his trust in God. He said, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in you. At this time, we see him now resigned. His focus switched. He's pivoting now his attention to the word of God instead of evil men. Instead of being afraid of men, he trusts in God. Instead of focusing his energy and his fear on men, his enemies, how powerful they are, how tenacious they are, how much of a nuisance they are, how restless they have been, how much they have him backed into a corner and how much he's terrified of them. He realized that God is even greater than his enemies. And so the word that he uses for his enemies is mere men, mortal, those who are liable to perish. Men who are made from dust. Here is the psalmist, the anointed of God. God has made all of these promises to, afraid of mere men, men made from dust who can only harm his body but not his soul. So we, as children of God, when we come to a place in our lives when we evaluate the reality that our fears that we place in our circumstances that man has caused, when we are afraid of what men can do to us and we think about how big men are and how much harm they can do, and when we're tempted to fear, we must come to the realization that men are mortals. They're liable to fail. They're nothing in comparison to our God who can deliver us and rescue us from their hand. Apart from the hand of God, nothing can harm us. This doesn't mean that we can deny the real danger that people can pose against us or the harm that they can do to us. But we can be confident in this, that our Heavenly Father will not allow anything into our lives outside of His sovereign plan to glorify us through suffering. God will not allow anything to happen to us apart from His permission. Consider the story of Job. Satan had to go to God and request permission to torture and torment Job. Peter, when he was faced with trial, when he took his eye off the Lord Jesus Christ, he drowned. He almost drowned, and the Lord had to save him. In order to overcome our fear of man, we must turn to God and to His Word, and we must put our faith in the God of the Word. We must put our faith in God. Our faith should be bathed in the contents of His Word. And this is the only way we're going to overcome our fear. Verses 7 to 9, David tells us that he had left his enemies in the hands of God. And he says that God will cast down the peoples. It is God that David turns to remember all the evil done against him. So often it's easy to want to cry and to feel sorry for ourselves. And sometimes we don't have anywhere to go to cry, no shoulders to put our heads on and cry and weep over the harm and the cause and the evil inflicted against us. And David gives us somewhere to go. He tells us, God will consider these things. God will look at his shiverings at night, and God will put his tears in the bottle. In faith, we too must leave evil men to the justice of God. It is to God we must go, as it were, and lay our heads and our shoulders on and cry, because he remembers our hardship. He keeps our tears in a bottle. Our sorrows and anguish is precious to God, and he will not overlook the harm that is being done to us. Verses 10 is interesting. It is here we encounter one of the few times the covenant name of God is used in a psalm. Here David tells us he praises the covenant God, Yahweh, for his word. It takes his attention from the fear of men to the power of God. He turns to the word of God. He put his faith in the word of God. He embraces the promises of God. David obviously had access to the first five books of Moses, the Pentateuch. He's aware of God's promises, especially that the kingdom will not depart from the house of Judah. He is the son of Judah. He knew that God had chosen his king and has made promises to him. He knew that God would never leave or forsake him. And so here is David, trusting in the Lord instead of being overcome by his fear of men. As believers, we too can encounter fear. We too can turn to the word of God to overcome our fear when we encounter it. There's no wonder then that Isaiah picks up on this refrain. He says of the Lord, I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of men who dies, of the son of man who is made like grass? The author of Hebrew picks up on this thing. He said, because God hath said, I will never leave or forsake you, we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can men do to me? When we put our trust in God and his word, the word directs us back to God. The content of our faith then becomes full of the promises of God and relieves our fears and strengthens us during our times of fear, helps us, embolden us to trust in the person of God. We put our trust in the God who is the creator, the great I am, the self-existent God, the all-powerful, the provider, the deliverer, and the protector of his sheep. We can trust him when we are overwhelmed by fear. As a shepherd tends to his sheep, we can be assured that the Lord will tend to his people. He demonstrated his love toward us when we were yet sinners. Scripture tells us that Christ died for us. God did not spare his only son, but delivered him up for us all. He experienced all the effects of the fall, the pain and the suffering, the scoffing, the hatred by his enemies. He endured so that he could be like us in every way. He gave his life an atoning sacrifice for our sin so that we can become sons of God. Even the Apostle Paul picks up on this and he says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we shall be called children of God. Scripture tells us that he adopted us, he bought us, and that he is with us. This is not to say that David was not aware of the reality of God as his helper and his shepherd and his keeper or his protector. Not that he was not aware of the promises of God, but he was caught in the reality of being a victim. Caught between a legitimate fear of Saul and Achish, caught in the middle of the terror of being haunted daily, the fear of men overwhelmed him. His focus was on the wrong thing, and that's why he was so afraid. He was overwhelmed because he was afraid of men who could only harm his body, but not his soul. He was afraid because he thought that the perishable could destroy him. But when he turned to the God who was imperishable and realized how much more powerful God is and how much God is in control and how sovereign and how much of a deliverer God is and how much the God of hosts will rescue those who he cares for, David is cured of his fear. This is not to say that his trouble went away. This is not to say that everything was well after that, but he had to choose whether to be ruled by his fear or to trust the Creator who says, fear not, I am with you. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord, if you're not a believer, and you're looking for a shelter to hide from the storm of fear, fear will consume you. The hymn writer says, come every soul by sin oppressed. There is mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you aid by trusting in his word. If you want to be delivered from your fear, the scripture says, come to Jesus. The greatest fear we have is the fear of sin and the fear of damnation. The scripture says, Christ have paid for our sin, and he can rescue us from damnation. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin have left a crimson stain, but he washes it white as snow. Verses 11 teaches us that God answers prayer. David prayed with the confidence that when he prayed and what he has prayed for, God would already bring it to pass. David is confident that God will be just. He will sovereignly protect him and overcome his enemies. The Apostle Paul picks up on this in Romans chapter 8 when he says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Paul tells us that all things work together for good, those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. God has predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. We must endure hardships, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We should confidently rest assured that he does not slumber or sleep. He understands our fears. He knows we are made of dust. The psalmist rests assured that God is for him. God had chosen him, that God had called him and anointed him. God had made promises to him that God will keep his promises. And Isaiah tells us God will keep him in perfect peace, mind is stayed on him because he trusts in him. The psalmist trusts in God and knows that God had chosen and ordained him to be the king of his people. God has chosen us to be kingdoms of, to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, a people set aside for his own glory. God had chosen David and protected him. God has chosen us, and God will protect us. We can put our trust in him. We can trust in his word, and we can rest assured that as we trust him, as we believe and obey him, we will not be overcome by fear. David confesses after coming to the realization that God is awesome and glorious. Again, the refrain shows up. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise. In God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What shall flesh do to me? David recounting the mighty deeds of God, especially when Israel is being delivered out of Egypt and their backs were against the wall, the Egyptians on one side, the sea on the other side, and Moses had to remind him, fear not. Behold, salvation of God. And at the word of God, the sea opened and God rescued his people. Israel passed through and watched as God vanquished their foes. He trusted in God to overcome his fear. In God's word, he praised. He recounted the mighty deeds of God found in his word. And so, as Christians, we too must meditate on the word of God and recount his mighty deeds and awesome power to overcome our fears as well. We too must cry out to God and trust him because he is faithful God. We must cry out to him. He will fulfill his promises to his children. We should be confident because God is for us. The Lord Yahweh is our God. He will fight on our behalf against our enemies. And so David, having realized this and confidently praying, anticipating God's deliverance, he gives thanks to God, verses 12 and 13. The prayer closes with confidence in what God will do. So often we pray and we hope that things will happen. And the right attitude that we should have in prayer is faith that God will fulfill his promises. If God has said it, God will do it. And so David prays in faith. The psalmist prays as though that what he has prayed for is already done. He prays in light of what God has already done. His fear was overcome by his faith. When he looked in the word of God and this enlarged his trust in God, he had been vindicated. He knew that God would vindicate him and that God would judge his enemies. Because of God's powerful work in vindicating him, he had an obligation to God. Thanksgiving. God delivered his soul from death. Because of God's deliverance, he says, I will perform my vow to the Lord. This is a vow of commitment to the covenant God. This is the vow to tell of his mercies. He says in another place, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generation. This is a vow to be faithful. This is a vow to live a life of worship and praise to the God who is faithful. God, he said, delivered his soul from death. God's arm of protection saw him through not just his immediate and present danger, but any future harm that lurked around the corner for him. David's vindication pointed to the vindication of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus was also vindicated by the Father at his resurrection. He is the perfect, spotless Lamb of God that was slain in our place, the place of sinners. He promises eternal life to us, resurrected life to all who will believe in his name. David celebrates deliverance from the fear of certain death because God delivered him. God also will raise him up. God delivered him from danger, he says, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Jesus too has delivered us from danger, that we can walk in the light even as he is in the light. And on our part, this calls for a lifelong commitment to trust and to give thanks to him. And so the question is, what can we render to God? What can we give back to God for all that he's done for us? He doesn't require that we give him bulls, sacrifice goats, but he desires that our lives be an offering of praise. Paul tells us and exhorts us to present our lives as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, and this is our reasonable service. Again, the apostle admonishes us, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're grateful for your mercy to us, and we can sing of your mercies. If we had 1,000 tongues, we would praise our Redeemer. We ask you, Lord, that you give us the grace that even though we are surrounded by men who can destroy us and men who terrify us, we can look to your word and be comforted, and we can trust in you to deliver us from the fear of men. We ask that you bless us as we go to our homes to worship and to live to bring honor and glory to you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.